In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production.
Everybody loves a good heist story. Preferably, in the story, nobody gets hurt. The amount stolen is way up in the millions, and it's comprised of, like, gold or jewels or other fancy things. And the victim is some big, faceless corporation. Hey, I don't make the rules. Hollywood does, and just about 1 year ago, at Toronto's Pearson Airport, we had a future blockbuster in real time.
Once this cargo was offloaded at a holding facility, subsequent to its arrival, this high-value container was removed by illegal means from the holding facility.
In the weeks and months that followed that day, we learned almost nothing. They got away, scot-free. Where was the gold? What were the police doing? How did they pull it off? And then, out of nowhere, this week, the hammer came down.
Arrests have now been made in the single largest gold heist in Canadian history. It all happened here at Pearson Airport. I can tell you that...
So, what happened in the great Pearson gold heist? How did police crack the case? Who, as they say, done it? And who does Brad Pitt play in the adaptation? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Andy Takagi is a general assignment reporter at the Toronto Star who seems to join us every time there's a really interesting and fun story. Andy, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Is it weird if I start off by asking you if you've ever seen Goodfellas, the scene where Henry Hill is like screaming in the shower after he learns about the heist?
No, it feels very appropriate for this.
Why do we all love a good heist movie?
I'm not sure. I think it reminds us of, you know, a time that you think has gone by of gangsters. And I mean, like a gold heist is something completely different that I feel like you don't hear about at all anymore.
Yeah. So take us back then, and we'll cover this week's news in a few minutes, but just take us back a year ago. Broadly, what happened at Pearson Airport?
Sure. So a year ago on April 17th, 2023, at around 6 o'clock in the evening, there's an Air Canada plane that is parked in a warehouse at Pearson International. It's come from Zurich. It has 6,600 gold bars, about 400 kilograms worth, valued at about 20 million, and also the equivalent of around 4 million in foreign cash. And that's set to be picked up by Brinks. But someone shows up, they present a waybill to Air Canada employees, and they load the gold bars and the cash into the truck, and they drive away. Brinks employees show up a few hours later looking for their shipment, and it turns out they gave the gold away to the wrong person. And that's all we really knew up until yesterday.
In the immediate aftermath, when we didn't know anything, what did Air Canada and Brinks, you know, say in terms of who was to blame and how this happened?
Yeah, so Peel Police didn't really say too much. They said that they were looking into it. It was an ongoing investigation, but they were very tight-lipped about what was happening. We only got more details about what had actually happened and how the theft occurred when Brinks decided to sue Air Canada for what it said was a lapse in security. Basically that, you know, this person with the phony waybill was able to bypass Air Canada's security measures, and Brinks lost their shipment of gold and of cash because of it.
Do we know who that gold and cash actually belonged to?
They were hired by Valcombi SA, a Swiss precious metal refinery, and Raiffeisen Schweiz, a Swiss retail bank. I'm so sorry if I butchered that. And that's who had hired Brinks to transport the gold and the cash from Zurich to Toronto.
And when the heist itself occurred, they just presented the waybill and they just drove off, right? Like nobody got smacked around, nobody got hurt.
No. It was completely, you know, kind of like we're comparing it to all these heist movies. It's like an Ocean Eleven's heist, right? They show up and they drive off with 24 million estimated value of gold and cash.
So we heard nothing for weeks or months, but what do police now say was the first thing that sort of broke the investigation open?
So there's a big break in the case when a driver from Brampton who was identified by Peel Police as the man driving the original truck in the heist, he's pulled over at a traffic stop in Pennsylvania in September of 2023. And he decides to run because he knows, and police later find out, that he has 65 illegal firearms in the truck that he's driving in Pennsylvania, including automatic weapons.
Huh.
Police arrest him. They realize that he's wanted by Peel Police. They contact each other, and then they start connecting the dots that this gold and cash heist has now expanded into arms trafficking.
How does that happen? How do guns come into this story?
So Peel Police didn't exactly make the direct connection, but they said that the Brampton man who was pulled over in Pennsylvania, that he was given a large amount of money to go down into the States, buy these firearms, and then bring them back into Canada. So the presuming theory is that some of that money was probably from the gold and cash heist, that he was given this money. He's the truck driver in the original heist as well. So seems like a runner type in the heist movies. Hmm. And so he goes down, runs to get these guns, and then is supposed to bring them back into Canada.
The police continue putting everything together behind the scenes, obviously. And then this week we get a huge announcement. Describe it for us. Where was it? What happened?
It's all of these police officers, including representatives from the US ATF. Brampton Mayor Patrick Brown is also there, and they're all standing in front of this massive white truck, the truck that was used in the robbery, and it's on the anniversary of the one-year anniversary of the gold heist. And they announced that they've arrested six people, including the Brampton man who's in custody in the US. They've three Canada-wide arrest warrants out for other people involved in the heist, and that two people involved of the nine who are either facing charges or have been charged were Air Canada employees.
So this was an inside job?
Essentially, yes. One was a former manager who quit his post before he was arrested, and then another one was actually still employed by Air Canada. Both worked in the airline's cargo division, and the man who was working for Air Canada has now been suspended.
Do we know what their roles were or any more about exactly what happened on that day?
No, not specifically about what their roles are. We know one man who was arrested owns a jewelry store in Toronto. Hmm. We also know that some of the gold that was recovered was fashioned into gold bracelets, and that the police also recovered molds and smelting material. So it sounds like they melted down a lot of this gold and transported it or sold it off.
How much of the gold was recovered and how much of it is still out there somewhere?
So only about $90,000 worth of the gold was recovered.
Oh, wow.
Police also said that they recovered $430,000 in Canadian currency, which they think some of which is profit from the gold that they were able to sell. So, you know, if we're assuming that all of that money that they recovered and the gold bracelets, that's just over $500,000. Huh. We're still short like $19.5 million worth of gold.
And based on the equipment, that would suggest that there's like $19.5 million worth of like gold bracelets that have been floated around and presumably sold off, right?
Something like that. It's like gold bracelets, gold statues, maybe someone's nice gold earrings happen to be from the Pearson gold heist.
Will we ever find out where that stuff went? What do police say about like what they're still trying to figure out and what they know, but I guess won't tell us till the trial comes about?
Yeah, so police say that it's still an ongoing investigation, so they couldn't give too many details about what was happening. They actually showed what they said were two debt lists, which show how the money was distributed and when the gold was sold, but they redacted all of that information, obviously, because it's still an ongoing investigation. The police do believe that a lot of the gold has either been sold off or, you know, converted in some other way to money. So they're focusing on that aspect of the investigation. Whether or not we'll actually find the gold bars themselves, I think becomes less and less likely every day.
What happens now to the lawsuit against Air Canada? What's the status of that? And Brinks is, I guess, seeking all the money for the gold that wasn't recovered from Air Canada?
Yeah, so part of the lawsuit is on top of the money that Brinks wanted to recoup from Air Canada for the gold bars and the cash, they were also seeking damages. But Air Canada also filed a statement of defense, which said that they denied all the allegations made by Brinks and that the company had not told Air Canada the value of what they were transporting and they hadn't taken out insurance on the cargo. So they said that at most they would only owe something around $17,000 to Brinks if the lawsuit actually went through and they were owing damages.
This is me just like speculating from my armchair here, but if two Air Canada employees are among the people arrested for this, it sounds like at least somebody at Air Canada knew the value of that cargo.
You would think so, or at least they knew that, you know, this big shipment of something was coming in from Zurich and you think, oh, Zurich, gold.
Oh, Zurich, and it's from a bank that works with a mining company.
Exactly. But Air Canada has said that they can't comment any further as the case is before the courts. Brinks actually, in their comment to us, called the heist the Air Canada heist, which is, I thought, pretty funny because I think most in the media have been calling it the Pearson Gold heist. And that's how kind of we refer to it colloquially. So, you know, they're clearly a little tilted in how they're viewing this.
When might we learn more of the details of exactly how this worked? Would it be when or if, I guess, those people wanted on warrants or tracked down and charged? Or is this going to wait for a trial? And how long could that take?
It could take a long time. We don't really have a timeline. Like I said, there are three people who are still out on the lam. There could be more charges coming if investigators manage to track down, you know, a wider network of people involved in the heist and, you know, who the gold might have been sold to, if there were other connections to arms trafficking that haven't been identified. So there's a lot of kind of loose threads here, but I think Peel Police and U.S. authorities maybe wanted to get this information out there on the one-year anniversary of the heist.
I love that you use the phrase on the lam. It's perfect for this conversation.
It seems appropriate. It's a funny story, actually, because, yeah, I was working from the office covering this, but my colleague, Peter Edwards, who covers a lot of crime and is a great reporter, he was at the press conference, and there was kind of like a breakdown in email yesterday. A lot of people were having trouble sending and receiving mail, and he was trying to send me his copy for me to update the story, and he couldn't. And so we had to get on the phone, and he had to dictate his story to me, which felt very of a certain time of gold heists and you know, robberies and things like that.
I used to have to do that as a reporter, so you just now made me feel terrifically old.
I'm so sorry.
Last question, because we've been having fun with this, and we've been saying, you know, this is going to be a heist movie or et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I was reading a lot of the coverage out of the press conference yesterday, and like the police are saying this too. It's not just us making fun. Like people are talking about, oh yeah, this will be on Netflix.
Yeah, they were joking that this could be a Netflix show. They made references to Ocean's 11 and CSI. I'm sure at some point this will be made into a Law & Order Toronto episode.
Oh yeah.
It's the largest gold heist in Canada. No one was harmed. It's just this guy pulled up his truck and bluffed his way into tricking employees to load up $24 million worth of golden cash into his truck and drove away. Like, it's a crazy, crazy story.
and drove away and melted it down into bracelets and sold it on the black market
exactly.
until somebody was caught with guns in their truck.
It's insane. And it just sounded like officers in Pennsylvania were just kind of lucky to have come across this truck. Apparently he made some sort of traffic violation, and that's what led to his traffic stop. It wasn't that they were trying to find his truck or that they were on the lookout for him as a driver in Pennsylvania. They just happened to stop the right guy.
Oh, man. We'll find out the rest of it, I'm sure, before it's all said and done and talk again. But in the meantime, Andy, this is a perfect conversation for a Friday after a week that's been all about, like, budgets and the housing crisis and everything. Thanks again for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andy Takagi, general assignment reporter with the Toronto Star. That was the big story. And like I said, after a week of talking about budgets and the housing crisis, gosh, that was a relief. I'm going to go spend my weekend rewatching Goodfellas and Ocean's 11 and all that. I hope you do too. If you have a suggestion or a comment about this show or any other episode of The Big Story, you can send it to us in email. The address is hello@thebigstorypodcast.ca. Or you can tell it to us over the phone by calling 416-935-5935 and leaving a voicemail. Joe Fish is the lead producer of The Big Story. Robin Simon is also a producer on this show. Chloe Kim is our editorial assistant. Stephanie Phillips is our showrunner. Diana Kay is our manager of business development. Mary Jubrin is our digital editor. Sound design this week was handled by Robin Edgar, Ryan Clark, and Christian Proholm. I am your host and your executive producer, Jordan Heath Rawlings, telling you to have a great weekend. And just wait, on Monday we drop the first episode of Pay Dirt, the inside story of the Greenbelt scandal. We'll talk then.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together, and we were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.